Baptism is a necessary means for eternal salvation. And Jesus clearly affirmed this, absolutely and without exception, in a conversation they had with a man named Nicodemus. So let's turn there to John, Gospel John, St. John, chapter 3, verse 5. So if anybody has that, then go for it.
Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God."
Okay. So baptism is necessary for eternal salvation. Okay. However, with regard to the infusion of sanctifying grace and forgiveness of sins, which is necessary for salvation, but not necessary with regard to the baptismal character. Okay, this can be replaced. Baptism by water can be replaced by, does anybody know? Two real ways.
Blood.
Okay. Baptism of blood, and then?
Desire.
Yeah, desire. So, baptism by blood or martyrdom. Okay, so that is a violent death for the sake of Christ. Okay, because you can't baptize yourself, right? So, you can imagine, right, if you're in a situation, you're professing Christ, and you're surrounded by persecutors, and you're confessing him, and, well, there's nobody to baptize you because you're surrounded by persecutors, right? And they give your life for Christ, right? It's baptism by blood. So, secondly, baptism by desire, which is an act of love and a desire to receive baptism, all that it means to be in the life of God. So baptism by desire can be received only by adults with the use of reason, not by children or the insane, right? So all this highlights the importance of baptizing children as soon as possible. In fact, except for the special case of baptism by blood, the church does not know of any means other than baptism of water for the forgiveness of original sin in children. Another reason for the early baptism of children is that it allows the supernatural life, grace, virtues, and gifts to take root in their souls as soon as possible. So think about it. If you're a parent, I mean, you have a newborn, you're not going to deny them the food they need, the medicine they need, the love, the attention, the care, all those good things you want to give them, right? Why would I also deny them all the graces too, right? You want to get them to them early, so they can be living the life of God from the earliest moment. Now, it brings to mind the question of children that die in original sin, but they've not committed any actual sin. So the church does not have a particular set doctrine on, you know, what they're going to be doing for the rest of eternity, but many theologians will teach that children dying in original sin do not suffer the pains of hell, but they do not enjoy the beatific vision of God. So, according to St. Thomas, they enjoy a natural knowledge and love of God. You might have heard of, like, limbo before. Some people posit that. Okay, that's not an official teaching of the Catholic Church. You won't find this. You won't hear us confess it on Sunday. Like, I believe in limbo, and I believe, no, we don't, because theologians have put that forward as a potential resolution to this question, which people will ask from time to time. So, does that make sense? Okay. The minister of baptism. Okay, so solemn baptism would be a bishop, priest, or deacon. Okay, but baptism can be private or non-solemn, and this could happen in case of a pressing need or danger of death. And in fact, in that case, baptism may be validly administered by any person capable of performing the sacramental sign and saying the words. Any person. They don't even have to be Christian, actually. You could have a Muslim baptize you, and it would be a valid baptism if they pour water upon you. You want a baptism, and they say, Alex, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
In that case, would the efficaciousness depend upon the faith of the receiver? It's obviously the giver is not faithful in what they're doing.
The efficacy is wholly dependent upon God, by ex opere operato, by the thing being done, the graces arrive to the person, which is a great consolation to the faithful, that the sacraments don't depend upon the worthiness of the minister, so that you could actually even have something very far from God, you know, but maybe they're your good friend and you want to ask them to help you in the situation, and you would receive all the blessings of baptism in that case. I mean, I've met people, I've talked to families where they've had a situation where there was an emergency situation. They baptized the child or the person, you know. And it can be helpful for first responders to know this. Military, police, medical, how to baptize a person in an emergency situation only, so... In that case, you'd be exercising the baptism, the priesthood of the common priesthood. Okay. The subject. Who is the person to be baptized? Well, every unbaptized person, and only such person can be baptized. Okay. For children. Catholic parents are obliged to see that their infants are baptized within the first few weeks. Baptism should not be administered to children without the consent of their parents, or if there's no hope that the child will be educated in the Catholic faith. But in danger of death, an unbaptized child who has not yet received the use of reason may be baptized, even if the parents object. Okay. Baptism of adults, they need to have the intention of receiving it. So you can't like sneak up on someone. Gotcha. Nope, doesn't work that way. You have to have the intention of receiving it. Okay, this is not required, but for lawfulness, the person, the candidate should know the principal truths of the faith. Existence of the one triune God, the incarnation, the principal obligations of a Christian. Okay, those who fall away from the faith, maybe they apostatize, which means total rejection of the faith. They maybe become heretics, they've rejected a certain doctrine of the faith, and they come back, reconcile. They're not baptized again because baptism is permanent. In that case, they would receive the sacrament of penance. Okay, if there's a doubt as to the baptism, you'd be baptized conditionally. Some people, like, they just don't know, or they're unsure. Ceremonies of baptism. Well, you need a godparent, someone who is going to show you the way of Christian life, someone who can assume the responsibilities of training the child in the faith where the parents no longer able to do it. You can do the baptism within the Mass like we did Sunday. The name that is given in baptism should be a Christian name, or at least one that is not foreign to Christian sentiment. So a Christian name. One time I was working with a community in another parish, and their culture had a tradition of naming the children using half of the one parent's name and half of the other parent's name. And so the girl's name was taken from the mom's name, which is like Lucia. And then the father's name was Fernando. So they combine the two. Well, you can combine Lucy and Fair, you get Lucy Fair, which is not a Christian name. So we had to work at getting another kind of name for that child to be baptized in. So good. So that's baptism. Any questions kind of about that? Some of the basics there. What Alex received is really impressive, right? Okay, confirmation. Let's just move to there real quickly here. Confirmation. So the sacraments of Christian initiation are, how many total are there?
Total sacraments.
Total sacraments are? Seven. Okay, good. And what are the three sacraments of initiation? Yes, okay. So to receive all those three, you're fully initiated. So
if we have a moment, Father, mm-hmm. I think you could speak on, because you know, when I was growing up, when you were coming up to confirmation and everything, but confirmation was kind of looked at as like, now you're an adult. Church.
Yeah.
Maybe you could speak on that for just a moment, kind of that sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. There seems to be not a little confusion in this area for many people. I've heard confirmation as this kind of sacrament of graduation or sacrament of adulthood or sacrament of maturation. Is that what our Lord is seeking here? I mean, in the early church, right? I mean, you receive all these things together as a little, as a child, you know? I mean, once they came on the scene after the Edict of Milan and the early fourth century, you know, it was legal in the Roman Empire to be Christian, to practice the faith. Then you had families bringing in and lots of children coming in. And so those children at the start would have been baptized and confirmed. And in fact, many of our brothers in the East still practice confirmation of little infants. Well, the infant is not mature, you know. St. Thomas Aquinas has a great analogy for the sacraments. Like, think about the life of an animal. Let's pick an animal. Rabbit. A turkey. Okay, very, very good. Let's take a turkey. Life cycle of a turkey. Turkey is, that's good. He's got to be born. And then the turkey is going to mature, grow, right? And then the turkey's got to eat. What other things does a turkey do?
Drink
water.
Propagate.
Okay, yeah. So with other turkeys, make more turkeys. Well, maybe one of them will kind of lead them. Maybe it's like a head turkey and the thing. And so there are many things that the turkey in the life cycle of a turkey. So also in the sacraments, right? So that we receive new life through baptism, right? And then, well, at a certain point, you're no longer a baby. You turn into what? Like a adult turkey, you know? And then you can start like eating other things, and maybe you then, yeah, get together with other turkeys, right? And form other turkeys. So the life cycle of an animal is akin to the life cycle of the life of the Christian through the sacraments. Now let's take an example like the army, you know? So like say when you sign on the dotted line, you know, like, are you ready at that moment to fight in a war? Mm-mm. Okay, no. Why? What do you still need?
Training.
Yeah. Training, and you're probably gonna need like equipment. Mm-hmm. You're going to need, like, I don't know, medical inoculations. I don't know what to give those. You're going to need, like, logistical support. What's that?
Strengthening.
Yeah, strengthening. You're going to need all those things. I mean, once you sign that dotted line, I mean, are you a full-fledged member of the Army at that point?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, so you have a new family now. You're full in the family. So, but yet you don't have what you need to fully give the witness, right? Or to fully do your job, to fight in battle. So too with the Christian life, that a person becomes a Christian, but they're not necessarily ready to give witness, to bear witness, to bear testimony, to bring about other disciples, right? They're not yet there. They're going to need gifts. They're going to need training. They're going to need tools. They're going to need things like piety and counsel and fortitude and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all those things. So it's much more than kind of, I think the kind of thinking is since a kind of graduation I'm moving on, but confirmation is a giving of radical gifts to bear witness in the world. It's much more than I think we even can ever really truly imagine what it is. Is that a little helpful about that? Okay. So when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And that's in Acts 12. You notice that yesterday what happens, I laid my hands on him, and then he was sealed with the Holy Spirit. So, from that moment, the apostles, following the will of Christ, communicated to the newly baptized Christians the gift of the Holy Spirit by laying on of hands. We say that this gift was to complete the grace of baptism, and this explains why in the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 6:2, on the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands, and they are mentioned among the first elements of Christian formation. Okay, the sacrament is given different names: laying on of hands, sacrament of chrism, sacrament of fullness. But it was St. Ambrose of Milan, who, if I'm not mistaken, his feast day is actually tomorrow. He was the first to use the term confirmation when he said, "You have received the spiritual sign, the sign of wisdom. God the Father has sealed you. Christ the Lord has confirmed you and has given you the gift of the Spirit in your heart." What's the matter is chrism. This is one of the oils consecrated by the bishop every year at the chrism mass on Holy Thursday, right before Easter. It's olive oil mixed with a little bit of balsam, which makes it smell really beautiful. It's like a perfume. I like to use a lot. I put a lot on Alex. It's like shining, man, his forehead.
Were you writing something?
You know, I wasn't. I was just kind of smearing it all on his forehead like that. Babies get it on the crown, because priests, prophets, and kings are consecrated. They're anointed on the crown. And priests are ordained. After they're ordained, it's smeared on their hands. Okay. And then so it's this chrism, and then on the forehead anointed, and then you say the words "be sealed by the gift of the Holy Spirit," laying on of hands, and then the sealing with those words. Okay. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:15 that the life of the Christian exudes the aroma of Christ, the bonus odor Christi, the good odor of Christ. Okay, the effects. Okay, maybe this is like going to be helpful to you. Like, what's confirmation about? I mean, but still, you know, what's it about? What are its effects? Its effects are to increase the sanctifying grace, especially the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So an increase. It's not that you didn't get those gifts before. They're increasing because now you're going to bear witness to Christ in the world because you're mature now and you're going out into the world and you're becoming an adult soon. Sacramental grace, which helps the person exercise the virtue of fortitude in the public profession of one's faith. And that's why we say, we refer to Christians as soldiers. We've always, the miles Christi. You become a soldier of Christ. It strengthens the bond with the church, which is funny, right? Because often after confirmation, we often like, we don't know where the teens go. Like maybe we'll see them back in marriage, but often they drift, you know, at that moment, which is why, you know, some people advocate moving confirmation, moving the age limit down, much further down. I would be in favor of that actually, because you're giving them all these gifts and like, we're already saying at 7 years old, you need to start maybe going to confession now. Well, don't you want all the gifts to help you in your spiritual journey and your walk and your spiritual battle, you know? Maybe we want all those gifts now, earlier. That can be adjusted. The ages of confirmation can be adjusted. Christ didn't institute the age, so it can change. Okay. And it does give a character, a permanent character. Okay. Is confirmation necessary for salvation? That's right. It's not. That's not. Yeah. Baptism is. Confirmation is not. Is confirmation necessary for marriage?
I'd say no.
It's not. You're right. It's not. I mean, you should receive it. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you don't want to enter into the sacrament of your, like, your vocation without the gifts to understand, like, is this the one? Should I be entering with them? You know, you want those like gifts to help you know this is the one, you know, that I should marry.
What you're saying is it's not inferior to other sacraments. And then confirmation is, there's not like a, I guess you could look at the Eucharist, of course, as being, these are all sources of grace from God. So it's not as if this is like the redheaded stepchild of sacraments.
No.
Be like,
yeah, because baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist form a unit. Life cycle of the turkey. We don't, you know, you can't jump past like birth to leading a whole group of turkeys. I mean, you got to go through the maturation. You got to become mature. You got to learn the things. You got
to talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, the minister, and then we'll wrap up here. Ministers, who's the minister? Who's the regular minister? Yeah, the bishop. So, did we have a problem yesterday then when Father Matt confirmed someone? Why wasn't that an issue? Yeah. So, bishops, usually now the practice is they will confirm all the teens. Because they're going about it in the traditional way at that age. But if the bishop didn't give this permission to all the pastors, he'd have to come around to every parish. Like, he'd be going around all the time. Yeah. So what he does is he gives that permission. He extends that faculty to me when I bring somebody in RCIA at Easter Vigil, or privately, like we did yesterday with Alex. So
the teenagers don't get the, I guess it's part of the Easter Vigil, the fire outside. with their incense.
Right.
Lit outside the candle.
Right.
And the candle.
They don't.
Yeah, that's.
They're not allowed to have it that way.
Yeah, on Pentecost. They well, yeah, I mean on Easter Vigil, yeah, they don't. Usually it's a mass. Yeah, where they don't
that's
have
really
that.
Meaningful.
Oh yeah.
I wish they could have.
I know. You're right. You're right. If people saw some of these signs, it would these work graces in people's hearts. And okay, the minister, right, so we got it. The subject of the confirmation, every baptized person who is not confirmed, and only such person is capable of receiving confirmation, right, because it's a permanent change, so you can't do it again. Okay, you have to be baptized, have the use of reason. Obviously, right, if a person has mental difficulties, it doesn't, they're not excluded, right? That doesn't mean they're excluded. But they also have to have the intention, at least habitual intention. A little child, though, could receive it in danger of death. You would confirm them. Okay. To receive it lawfully, they should be in a state of grace, which is why, you know, you would go, that's why you have baptism right before, or you make your confession right before. Now, say a person is not in a state of grace and they receive it, does that invalidate the confirmation? No, because ex opere operato, the things don't depend upon the recipient in that sense. The character is received, but the graces are impeded until a person goes to confession and returns to a state of grace. Then they'll receive the graces that they'll get. Good. Well, the age can vary. In this archdiocese, it's typically done 9th, 10th grade. There are many places it's done when they're 7 or 8 years old. Good. In any case, the reception of confirmation, one of the sacraments of Christian initiation, should not be delayed too much. The child will be deprived of an important help to fight against temptations. And then the ceremonies. On Holy Thursday during the Chrism Mass, the bishop consecrates the chrism, and then we at the cathedral, and then we bring it here. Each parish gets its own. The rite begins with the renewal of baptismal vows, profession of faith, laying on of hands, and then anointing with chrism on the forehead, and the words, and a godfather or godmother must be present. And typically, they choose a name. Yesterday, Alex chose the saint I'd never heard of, Saint Galgano of Guidotti from Italy, who was a soldier. So, so you can choose your name for your saint. So, okay, any kind of questions and.
No, I've got
yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah.
I can wait.
No, you go for it.
Yeah,
got it.
I think I'm drawing the wait.
Okay. Okay, we'll wait. Y'all have any? Okay. This will be our last class, I think, for the year. For the year of grace that is beginning, we're only at the beginning, but for the calendar year, it's the last. So liturgical year begins with Advent, so we're at the beginning of the year, but we're at the end of the calendar year. So we will pick up, let's look at our next date.
January 3rd.
Thank you. January 3rd, we're back. Okay, thank you. So you take advantage of this time of Advent, this time of hope and prayer, contemplation, reading the scriptures. I recommend Isaiah in particular. Be aware of the darkness and the light. We're coming to the shortest days of the year, and that's in which, in, at least in the northern hemisphere, and Christ is going to be born into this time. Into darkness will come the light, and then Advent will give way to Christmas season, which will run for a few weeks, a couple weeks. And Christmas is, well, it's a Christ Mass, the Mass of Christ, the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary, and St. Joseph, his father, and the Holy Family. And then we'll have Epiphany, which is the a feast of three things. We have the arrival of the Magi and the veneration of the child, bringing gifts of frankincense, myrrh, and gold. Also, we, on that day, will celebrate, Epiphany celebrates also the baptism of the Lord, and also the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. So kind of three mysteries wrapped into one. We're coming up to some big Marian feast days and holy days of obligation. You know, every Sunday is a holy day of obligation for us. Also, the holy days. Holy days of obligation are the Immaculate Conception, which is this Wednesday. We have Mass at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. And then, what's the next holy day of obligation after that?
Christmas.
Right, Christmas.
Is that Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And your Vigil Mass traditionally can count, so you're 5 o'clock, if we're doing one on Friday, mm-hmm. Yes, we are. And then the Midnight Mass. If not Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, yeah.
January 1st.
Okay, so January 1st will be?
That's the Solemnity of Mary.
Mary, Mother of God, yeah.
We would have, well, obviously Easter, but Easter every Sunday is regardless. I'm missing one right there, I think. Do you remember?
This Wednesday. Yeah, this is it for right now. Yeah. So good. Take part in the mysteries. Take part in the prayer. Really. Open yourself up to the liturgy is very strong in their presentation of the mysteries of Christ's life. So. With that, we'll end, okay? We'll pick up January 3rd.